interested in this idea of craftsmanship, oddly enough, from a movie that came out in 1998. It was a film that was based on a favorite novel of mine, and so I was really excited when they put this movie together. The movie is called Simon Birch. And the film is set in 1964, and it is focused on the relationship between two 12-year-old boys, these best friends, growing up in a New England town in the 60s. One of the boys' name is Joe Wentworth, and Joe lives with his mom and his grandma, and his best friend's name is Simon Birch, hence the name of the film. So Simon is like any other 12-year-old boy growing up at that time. He wants to play baseball, and he wants to do fun things, and he wants to fit in with all the other kids in his school and in his Sunday school, except that Simon doesn't ever quite fit. Simon's parents are kind of quirky. They live on the outskirts of town. He lives right next to the granite quarry because his dad is a granite miner. And he lives out there with his parents. They're kind of weird. They don't really interact with a lot of people in the town. And the other thing about Simon is he's really, really little. All the other kids have grown and grown and grown, and Simon has stayed small. Any of you have that experience where you were the littlest one or you remain to be the littlest one? No one? How about the biggest? Ever been the biggest kid, Nick Kelly, Chris Costin, Phil? All right. Ever been the biggest? There's always something about us that we're always thinking, oh, if I was just a little bit this, or a little bit this, or a little bit this, or a little bit this. All those things. Simon just doesn't quite fit. And you watch this kid as the movie goes through, and he's so little that when his friend Joe invites him to go to Sunday school with him at his church, when the Sunday school teacher steps out of the room, which again must be 1964 because we would never leave children alone in a room, but when the Sunday school teacher steps out, all the kids have a game that they play. They pick up Simon and pass him around the room because he's so light and he's so little. And the Sunday school teacher comes back in the room and says, Simon, you get down from there. So it doesn't always go right for him. He doesn't fit in quite right. And then the other thing about him that makes him very unique and pretty strange is that Simon keeps saying, I am God's instrument. This kid truly believes that God has a plan for him. And he keeps saying, I am God's instrument. God is going to use me. And the thing is, nobody else is saying that. Nobody knows what to do with it. Probably they think, Simon, you're kind of little, you're kind of young, I don't know what you're talking about. But he keeps on doing this. So you watch this story unfold, and you see some sweet adventures with friends, and Simon going to Sunday school and being part of the church that Joe and his mom go to. And then you come to the day of the Christmas pageant. They're getting ready to plan for the Christmas pageant. So one day the Sunday school teacher is assigning all the roles to the kids. And she picks someone. You get to be Mary. You can be Joseph. You can be a shepherd. You can be an angel. You can be a cow. You can be a sheep. And then finally she pauses. And she says, now we need someone to be the baby Jesus. Do you see where this is going? Someone needs to be the baby Jesus. If you're watching the movie, you're thinking to yourself, why can't it be a doll? Or a baby. Why would you pick a fifth grader or a sixth grader? But she is tapping her pen on her clipboard thinking, who could be the baby Jesus? And Simon is going, not me, not me, not me. And she says, Simon Birch, you will play the part of the baby Jesus. And he has no way to say no. So Christmas Eve is the night of the pageant when all the kids will act out the beautiful Christmas story and everybody is there in their costumes. They are ready for their roles. They have been memorizing their lines and some of the kids are thinking, oh, this is so wonderful. I can't wait to say my line. And some kids are thinking, I really wish I didn't have to be a part of this. And Simon is costumed as the baby Jesus, which means they just wrapped strips of cloth all around him tightly. He looks much more like a mummy than a sweet little baby. And then they cram him into the manger and they set up the beautiful scene. And as the kid, everybody's singing a beautiful chorus, Mary and Joseph are standing next to him. And Mary is just so overwhelmed, she decides she wants to kiss her little baby Jesus. And she leans down to kiss baby Jesus / Simon on the forehead, and he wants nothing to do with it. So he makes a move to get her out of the way, which causes her to stumble into a shepherd, who stumbles into a cow, who stumbles into a sheep, and suddenly all melee chaos breaks out. There are kids falling all over the place. There's just a lot of mess on the stage, and everyone forgets that they've hung a kid from the rafters to be the announcing angel, who is swinging back and forth until he gets motion sick. It gets bad. The Christmas pageant is a disaster. And the next scene in the movie, you assume that people have begun to pack up and go home. The next scene, you see this quiet, dark office. And there's a pastor. In the movie, the pastor is sitting at his desk. His nice, neat desk is here, and Simon is sitting across from the desk. And Simon is still so wrapped tightly in his swaddling clothes that he can't even bend his knees over the end of the chair. His feet are just sticking straight out, and he's sitting there tightly wrapped, and the pastor is so angry. Simon, you ruined our Christmas pageant. This is your fault. He's considering telling him that he can't come to church anymore. And he looks at this little boy, and he says, what do you want me to do for you? What am I supposed to do with you? And Simon Birch looks into his eyes and says, I want you to tell me that there's a reason I am like this. I want you to tell me that I'm God's instrument. Just verify. Just go with it. This is what I've been saying. This is what I think. I want you to affirm this. And now I am in the movie theater in 1998, and I am on the edge of my seat. I am waiting to hear what he's going to say. There is so much that you could say as a pastor, as a reader of the Bible, as a follower of Jesus. And so I'm waiting to hear what he says, and the pastor says two words. He says, I can't. I can't. He looks at this kid who's just looking to be affirmed, who's just wanting to say, I just want a way to fit. I just want to make a difference. I just want to know that I'm okay. And he says, I can't. And I don't even remember what happened in the rest of the movie because I was so mad. I said, yes, you can. Yes, you can. There is so much that you could say. And one thing you could say is you could quote Ephesians 2:10. He could have said to Simon Birch, you are God's craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for you to do. In that moment was an opportunity to tell that kid something that all of us need to hear. You are God's craftsmanship. Or some translations say workmanship or masterpiece. Something, someone that God thought about before you were born. That God put together saying, I want you to be the way that I want you to be. And when you were finished, when you showed up, God said, oh, that's good. I just imagine God in heaven saying, you know what? Did you see this one that I just made? Isn't that great? Don't you just love how the light sparkles in their eyes? Don't you just love how funny they are? Don't you just love how much they challenge their parents? Don't you just love this one? I made them just like that. You are God's craftsmanship. Planned and thought out. And then it says, created in Christ Jesus. When we come to know Jesus, everything about us gets made new, and it gets made new to walk in relationship with God, and it gets made new, says Ephesians, to do good works. There's something that you can do that nobody else can do. You were made like you were. You were placed at a time and a place. You have relationships with people that make it possible to do something that no one else could do to make a difference in the world. And in the movie, I won't spoil it totally, but Simon proves the pastor and everybody else wrong. In that story, he does something that only he can do, and he saves the lives of a class full of little children. He was God's instrument to keep them alive. Even if you don't know it, even if you don't know that you are God's craftsmanship, God will give you an opportunity to do something good. Look at the shepherds that we've talked about in the Christmas story. The shepherds are out minding their own business, doing their shepherdly things when the angels show up. And what the shepherds do is they follow the instructions of those angels. They go and they find Jesus and his parents. They know that this is a unique moment. They know that this is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of experience. They see that God has come down, and they know that this child, like the angel said, is the one who brings great joy to the world. that this one is the Messiah, that this one is the Savior, that this baby is going to change the world. And the shepherds are so surprised at being the first ones to know. They are so filled with light and so grateful for the message that they received that they become messengers themselves. They run and tell everyone they meet about Jesus. And you know what they did to prepare for their job change? From shepherd to messenger, you know what they did to prepare? Nothing. Nothing. God prepared them for what they needed to do. Shepherds aren't trained to be messengers. They're trained to care for sheep. Shepherds aren't used to being listened to. They're used to listening. These shepherds just did the thing that God called them to do when the time came. They were willing to follow the invitation to meet Jesus, and once they did, everything changed. They went out to do a job that God had prepared in advance for them to do. Filled with the light of Jesus, they went out to shine their own light. Those shepherds, usually left on the outskirts of town, low on the social ladder, surprise everybody they meet when they show up with a message from God. They are God's instruments to share the good news of Jesus. On Christmas Eve, we celebrated Jesus, the light of the world. We've spoken over and over again that Jesus came to bring light into a dark world, but he also uniquely prepared his people to shine. Jesus said to us, to his disciples, and then to us, he says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." In the same way, says Jesus, let your light shine before others, that they would see your good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven. God's plan was for Jesus to come and bring light to the world. It was a world that was dark because of sin and sorrow and shame. And Jesus came to light the way. And we've talked every week, we've talked about the light of hope, the light of peace, the light of joy, and the light of love. And then after his death and resurrection and return to heaven, Jesus' light still shines, and then he leaves behind his followers God's craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to shine their lights. You were uniquely created and placed in this world for this time and this place. And there are dark places for you to shine. People that you know that others do not, places that you go, and you have a chance to encounter people that God loves. You have ideas and skills and quirks and a presence that matters. And you might have all the skills in the world that God would use. Did you know Ben could actually play the organ also? And then to sit at the piano and do that, and to Lewis is up there finding things on the screen as quickly as possible, people using these gifts and skills they've trained for, yet God might just use you to do something you never even knew that you could do. That is what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to get to go into a world where we get to shine our own light. So where will you shine today? To share the good news of Jesus, to bear hope, to be a peacemaker, to bring joy, and to share Christ's love with the world. Would you pray with me? We thank you, Lord, for your word. You are constantly telling us about yourself and telling us about us, our own selves. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the light of the world, that you have come to shine into all dark places and bring your light. And thank you that you have left us to shine in our own way. Lord, for each person that is here, for each person that listens online, I pray that you would remind them that they have been so uniquely made, made well, made and seen as good and ready. Make us new in you, Jesus, and open our eyes to see all the places where we might shine. Thank you for this season that we have been in, that it gets us ready for the year and the times ahead. We pray, Jesus, light of the world. Amen.